Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Welcome to this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is Wednesday, August 29th, 2018, and you are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Great hour in store for all of you out there. Before I let you know what we will be discussing here throughout today's hour, I want to give a big shout out to all of the Michigan State students out there. Day one of classes taking place here on the campus of Michigan State University. I tell you what, I drove into work this morning. Everywhere I looked, just students everywhere. Students catching the cata. Students biking to class. Students walking to class. Students, students, students. So congratulations on yet another year for our student body here at MSU. And I got a chance to MC Spartan Spectacular yesterday. That's what they're calling it now. It was formerly known as Sparticipation. Some people call it Spartan Spirit as well. But I got a chance to MC that yesterday from 7 to 8 p.m. before we got those really bad thunderstorms last night. I really hope that those affected by those storms last night are okay and safe. But right before the rain hit, I took the stage and had the opportunity to introduce Michigan State Athletics to the MSU student body who were present. It was the field right across the street from the Breslin Center parking lot. And, you know, I hit the stage and introduced Michigan State Athletic Director Bill Beekman. Also, Michigan State football captains Kari Willis, Joe Bocci, as well as Brian Lewerke. Also introduced the Michigan State women's basketball team. Elisha Bond was representing the team there, and she addressed the crowd along with many of the MSU women's basketball players in attendance. And then I got tackled from behind by head coach Tom Izzo of the MSU men's basketball team. Got a chance to chat with him a bit before he took the stage. I introduced Tom, and he had many of his players up there. I mean, Cassius Winston, Josh Langford, Nick Ward, they were all there. And also a guest appearance from Jaren Jackson Jr., who is now in the National Basketball Association after going one and done. Jaren is one paid brother after becoming a lottery pick in this summer's NBA draft. And it was a funny line that Izzo had. He said, look, if anybody needs a loan, all right, hit up Jaren Jackson Jr. So that was fun stuff. I called out Josh Langford as well for a dance competition. Josh doesn't dance, though. He just came up on stage and said hello to the crowd. So that was fun stuff. I have some of that footage on my Twitter page. Just follow me at Al Martin, WKAR, and you can see Izzo talking, and then you see Jaren Jackson Jr. kind of walk up on stage. That was just fun stuff. Head coach of the Michigan State hockey team, Danton Cole, was in attendance, introduced him, as well as MSU softball coach Jackie Joseph. Just a fun time. A fun time last night. Sparty was there, of course. And I want to give a big shout out to Tammy for inviting me to that event last night and allowing me to rock the mic. Just a fun time. Tammy of the Department of Student Life, she is absolutely fantastic and has a lot of energy herself. I had to live up to that hype, I tell you that. So it was great seeing you guys. And again, I really hope to all of the students out there, you have a great 2018 school year. All right, let's start it off on the right foot. Okay, on today's current sports, we will be discussing the MSU football team and whether or not Michigan State is being overlooked. That's how a lot of you feel. There was actually a piece written today from Jeff Seidel of the Detroit Free Press addressing that, saying, really addressing why Michigan State football is getting no hype and why that lack of hype is wrong. So we'll discuss that. Also, we'll get to it today, finally, the Odell Beckham Jr. contract that many of you have thoughts on. You know, making Odell Beckham Jr. the highest non-quarterback, highest paid non-quarterback ever, which is pretty unbelievable. He gets $60-plus million guaranteed, a $95 million contract through the course of 5 years. Pretty impressive stuff, right? Is it worth it for OBJ? We'll discuss that. On the back end of the show, we will be talking about federal regulations, possibly, for sports betting. And our guest for today's current sports, I'm still working on him right now. He's checking with the University of Michigan Athletic Department. And yes, we got him. Just got confirmation. Alan Gant, who was a regular here on current sports last year. He's a former defensive player, defensive star for the Michigan Wolverines college football team, and he is now an assistant coach with Jim Harbaugh's squad. He is an outside linebacker intern coach at the University of Michigan college football team, and Alan's going to kind of give us a firsthand look into the program as Jim Harbaugh and his troops prepare to hit the road to play Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, under the lights on Saturday night. So Alan Gant will join me for segment B. So we'll get to all of that, hopefully, while, of course, inviting you to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there and comment below the video. And also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. Michigan State softball head coach Jackie Joseph announced the addition of three student athletes who have enrolled at MSU for the fall of 2018 and will be a part of the softball program. Freshman Courtney Callahan from Commerce, Michigan, went to Walnut Lake Northern, and transfers Shay Shergranagos from Pineville, Louisiana. She went to Louisiana Lafayette, and Allie Walker from Portage, Wisconsin, coming from Madison College. So three new additions for Jackie Joseph's squad. Jackie went on to say about the new additions, quote, "I think that these are three student athletes who will make us better as a team, both on and off the field." All right, having been attacked at a federal penitentiary in Tucson, Arizona, shortly after being released into the general population, Larry Nassar was recently moved to a prison in Central Florida. Nassar's new home is the Coleman II U.S. Penitentiary, located about 50 miles northwest of Orlando, where he is locked up on federal charges related to child pornography, with a listed release date of March of 2069. Now, if the 55-year-old were somehow, some way, still alive at that point, he will begin serving a term of 42 175 years in state prison per a Michigan judges, that being Judge Rosemarie Aquilina. Her ruling following an extraordinary 7-day sentencing hearing in January, as we all know, in which over 150 girls and women and parents spoke out about his about their pain when it comes to Nassar's sexual abuse. So, again, Larry Nassar is going to spend the rest of his life in prison, no doubt about that. But again, he has been sent to Florida to serve time. All right, the Urban Meyer situation. More news concerning what is happening out in Columbus, Ohio, and Urban Meyer's tenure as the head coach of the Ohio State football program. Urban Meyer's current suspension and previous paid leave have restricted him from talking football with his staff and athletes during August, with one exception: a team meeting the day after the suspension was announced. Meyer and athletic director Gene Smith were allowed to meet with the players and coaches for 45 minutes last Thursday, according to email sent to Meyer by the senior vice president for human resources, Susan Bussow. Also, according to documents released by Ohio State, the following text message exchange occurred between Shelley Meyer and Courtney Smith in 2015. Some of the texts were obtained and released earlier this month by ESPN's Brett McMurphy, the reporter who broke the original story. Courtney said, quote, "Hey, we are doing well, hanging in there. It's not your fault. I should have left a long time ago. Leaving was the best thing for me and the kids, you know. Just want the divorce final, so I'm not walking on eggshells anymore." And then Meyer went on to say, again, this is a text message exchange between Shelley Meyer and Courtney Smith. Shelley responds to that text message by saying, quote, "I am with you. A lot of women stay hoping it will get better. I don't blame you, but I just want you to be safe. Do you have restraining order? He scares me." So there you have that. New details concerning the controversy out in Columbus, Ohio. All right, the Detroit Tigers bats displayed another dismal performance as they were dominated by Kansas City Royals starter Jacob Junis in a 6-2 loss at Kauffman Stadium. The only runs Junis allowed came in the third when Jahmyr Candelario, he managed a sac fly, and the eighth when Jacoby Jones went deep for a solo shot. Junis must have some good luck when facing the old English D when he's faced them four times this season, pitching at least 7-plus innings and winning each of the starts. The Tigers are now 53-79 on the season, and they will get underway against the Royals today. Again, a little after 2 p.m., 2:15 p.m. to be exact. So not shortly after, just shortly after, I should say, after we get off the airwaves here. All right. Two blinks is an accurate timetable for Robert Ayers' short tenure with the Detroit Lions, as he was released slightly over 24 hours after signing with the Lions. Now, Detroit presumably signed the former Bucks, Giants, and Broncos defensive lineman to aid one of the just feeblest pass rushing attacks in the National Football League. Ayers notched just two sacks last season, but earned good grades from Pro Football Focus for disrupting the pocket. Neither Ayers nor the Lions have made any comment clarifying the situation. All right, LeBron James and Odell Beckham discussed how African-American athletes are perceived differently for the same actions as their white counterparts on LeBron's show, which aired last night on HBO, entitled The Shop, debuted yesterday. It's a fascinating show, as you have some pretty big names just in the barbershop talking about life, sports, and beyond. Now, as James began a discussion surrounding the burden that African Americans have as both athletes and also hip-hop artists to reach great heights, he mentions that maintaining a positive public profile is doubly challenging for black athletes in comparison to white athletes, I should say. Beckham expressed his agreement with the sentiment, explaining a recent situation in which a fan attempted to take a picture of the New York Giants star receiver, which he declined. Beckham went on to say last night, quote, "I really feel like a zoo animal. Like, that's where life's gone for me. You know, you used to take your kids to the zoo and we used to be like, you know, I want to see the lions, or let's go see the lions. And you go out there and the lions are laid out. You know what I mean? It's like, why aren't they doing lion stuff? You know what I mean? Like, I've got people who call out, Odell, dance. Like, I'm a show punk, a show monkey or something, end quote. So, Odell Beckham Jr. talking about fame and what comes with being famous. And now the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, which we'll get to later on this hour. So there you have that. Fascinating show, though. I really think it's intriguing. You know, we used to do a segment here on WKAR's Current Sports that occurred on today, you know, each and every Wednesday. And it was entitled Barbershop Wednesday because, you know, when you go to the barbershop, at least where I'm from, you know, there's always a sports debate happening. There's always an argument going on. It's like ESPN's First Take on steroids in the barbershop, right? That's where us men debate and talk about life. And that's the kind of feel that LeBron James is bringing to this this new HBO show. And also, not just men, though. The WNBA's Candace Parker is also in the barbershop, just kind of kicking in with the fellas and giving things from a female athlete perspective as well. Very cool stuff. If you have not watched it, check it out. All right, Le'Veon Bell told some Pittsburgh Steelers teammates that he intends to rejoin them on Labor Day. Quote, the Steelers are going on the assumption Bell will be at practice Monday, a source said. Now, Bell has sat out training camp in the preseason after being placed on a $14.5 million franchise tag with long-term contracts. Those talks fell through. Now, he has not signed that franchise tag, and it has been long assumed that he would in time for the regular season like he did last year. It's being reported that that's going to happen, but Bell was not having it and called out the familiar refrain of fake news on Twitter shortly after the Post-Gazette report was published. So, again, this whole contract dispute situation with Le'Veon Bell continues. All right? So, yeah. Tweet from Bell officially read yesterday, quote, don't believe the fake news. I never said anything to no one. That's what Bell's tweet read. All right. The Detroit Red Wings fans, get your tissues ready because one of the last players from the 08 historic Stanley Cup run could be retiring. According to general manager Ken Holland, Henrik Zetterberg is not looking great in hopes of returning this season to play once again for the Winged Wheel. Zetterberg told the Detroit Free Press yesterday, quote, he will not be able to play from the start, end quote, from the 2018-19 season because of pain stemming from a history of back issues. Zetterberg went on to say, quote, I will need more answers from doctors before I say I have played my last game. In my mind, I am hoping it can get solved. I don't want to think I have played my last game. To me, it's still early to say that, but obviously I've been through this for the last few years and I know it's a thin line, end quote. Jack Kerwin, you're a hockey fan. Do you think Henrik Zetterberg is done in the D?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of become more and more clear as the summer's pressed on. I mean, the dude hasn't done any training this entire summer, and I just think it would be really hard for him to come back midway through the season and try to put together, like, half of a season. No, I think Zetterberg's done for sure.
What do you think his legacy will be?
40-goal scorer in 2008, Conn Smythe winner for the Wings 08 Cup team. You know, I still attest if Pavel Datsyuk wouldn't have gotten hurt in Game 1 of the 09 Stanley Cup Finals, the Wings probably win that one too. So he did everything right, following the mold of Steve Yzerman and Nick Lidstrom as a captain for the Red Wings, and his name will be in the rafters in a couple of years.
Definitely, I agree with you. Good stuff there. All right. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's keep it pushing.
Ron, this is your obviously third time changing teams. Is that a reinvigorating thing?
I told you last summer what really got me back going is what helps is my kids playing.
That's interesting.
Watching my boys play ball, like last year was the first, like I really had some time to go watch them play in the summer. Like really sat down, went to like four or five tournaments, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game and I feel my hands just start sweating. I feel like my chest starts sweating. I'm like, Jesus, 13 or 10-year-olds out here hooping. Why are you feeling like this? Then it went from like just sitting there, and then it went from like to this, like, let's go. And then it went from me sitting on the bench to me getting an argument. I got an argument. First of all, I didn't get to an argument with an AAU dad. I got an argument with an AAU mom.
What?
What?
A mother?
With a mother.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, and you want to know the first person I apologized to? Was my mom that was sitting right here. And the reason I apologized to my mom, because I used to get on my mom so much.
When I
was a kid, and she used to go crazy at my AAU game. I used to be like, Mom, chill out. Mom, I don't want this. And I went crazy about my kids. And I was like,
you felt her pain.
I was like, Mom. I'm sorry.
What do you say to your kid, though, like living up to you being their dad? And they're playing the same sport that you played better than anyone else in the world has ever played it. How do you give them a peace of mind that they don't have to be you?
I still regret giving my 14-year-old my name because of that.
Right.
Like, when I was younger, obviously, I didn't have a dad. So my whole thing, I was like, whenever I have a kid, not only is he going to be a junior, I'm going to do everything that this man didn't do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're going to experience things that I didn't experience. The only thing I can do is give them the blueprint, and it's up to them to take their own course whenever that time happens.
Yeah, just a small snippet from last night's premiere of LeBron James's show on HBO, The Shop. Again, as I stated in our headliners, really cool stuff. You know, LeBron James sitting alongside, I mean, some pretty big names in the world of sports and entertainment. You know, Jon Stewart, Candace Parker, Snoop Dogg, Odell Beckham Jr., Draymond Green is also featured in the show. Just really cool stuff. And I found that conversation to be one of the most interesting tidbits from the show thus far. And that's LeBron James talking about, you know, his kids, especially Bronny, LeBron James Jr., who, again, holds the name of his father, who is the best basketball player on planet Earth. What it's like as a kid trying to live up to that name, I don't know. A lot of pressure, without a doubt. You know, I recently saw an interview with John David Washington. That is the son of Denzel Washington, one of the greatest actors of all time, my favorite actor of all time. And it's so funny. I'm watching this interview with John David Washington, and he didn't want the interviewee, those who were conducting the interview, he was on The Breakfast Club, he didn't want them to say or announce him, introduce him as John David Washington. He just wanted them to introduce him as John David because he wants to just kind of, you know, pave his own road to success in the world of acting. He doesn't want, you know, people to have these preconceived notions and expectations when people know that he is the son of one of the most famous actors of all time. But, you know, I found that to be interesting because, you know, LeBron James kind of regrets now giving his son his name, you know, putting that pressure on Bronny to live up to those expectations, which is tough, which is, I can only imagine what that is like for a teenage kid. But he's doing it so far. I must say, ESPN is already ranking him among the top players at his age, which, again, far too premature, if you ask me. You know, we'll see what Bronny does when he really gets into the thick of things during his high school career. The kid is good, though. I've seen highlight tapes. He is pretty good. And it helps when you have and can pick the brain of your dad, who, again, is the best basketball player on planet Earth. But it's a really cool show. You know, I watched that and I also tuned into Hard Knocks as they profile the Cleveland Browns. Only one more episode left. And as we know, this week, on that episode next Tuesday, it will profile this week's NFL preseason game between the Cleveland Browns and the Detroit Lions. So we'll get to see some Lions highlights in HD on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. come next week when the season finale, because they only do it through the preseason, when the season finale of Hard Knocks with the Cleveland Browns will air. But I must say, this may be my favorite season ever of the show. Some great personalities, some great storylines, some great drama, especially the assistant coaches. You know, Todd Haley is crazy. I really believe that. But he's so entertaining. You know, seeing how Hugh Jackson, you know, I think I've gained a newfound respect for Hugh Jackson. I kind of like the guy. You know, he has a balance between being intense but also chill. You know, he gets on his players when he sees things are going wrong. You know, they also had cameras on him when, and maybe this is the soft spot I'm talking about here, when they showed, I believe it was either episode one or two, when his mother passed away, and that was pretty emotional for him as he was on the phone with his sister. And he didn't break down then, but it wasn't until, you know, the team owner along with another coach came in and said, hey, man, we're here for you, dude. Just let it all out. And he just began sobbing. It's a very intriguing show, and you really get to see the human side of these players. So I tuned into both of those things last night as I couldn't sleep. I just in the middle of the night, just like, all right, I can't sleep. Let me just, I think I went to bed way too early because I was kind of drained from the whole day yesterday. But great stuff if you have not seen it. All right, I want to address this. We have, you know, 3 minutes before we welcome our guest for today's Current Sports. I want to ask this question first to the guys behind the glass right now. The man who's engineering the show is Jack Kerwin, and also we have production assistant Alec Rio helping out on today's Current Sports. You know, MSU football now, I can't believe we're just 2 days away. Michigan State, the season opener, hosting Utah State. That will be a 7 p.m. kick time. Reminder, Current Sports live tailgate special here at the Communication Arts and Sciences Building, right outside of the south entrance of the building, the WKAR glass doors. Will be on 2 hours prior to kickoff, 5 to 6 p.m. on WKAR AM 870, WKAR 105.1 FM, and we will have a special live stream, really nice produced live stream, along with in partnership with those at WKAR TV. So if you can't be there, at least watch on our Facebook page. We'll have that from 5 to 6 p.m. Tune in. Going to be awesome. Is MSU being overlooked, though, fellas? Because, you know, I read a piece from Jeff Seidel today from the Detroit Free Press, and he kind of broke down how he's watching the show, and they led off with, of course, the controversy in Ohio with Ohio State. Then they talked a bit about, you know, U of M and Shea Patterson, and will he be the savior? Then they went on to talk about Penn State and Wisconsin and then Iowa, and then very last, they talked about Michigan State and how they have a lot coming back, and then they hit commercial. You know what I mean? And I feel like, and this happens, and I think to a degree, this is what Michigan State has always been, right? Even when they're good, they're still overlooked. You know, Michigan still gets all the great hype. In a way, though, Mark D'Antonio likes this. He likes flying under the radar. He likes surprising and proving people wrong. Do you think Michigan State is being overlooked? And if so, why? I'll start with Jack.
Well, it depends on who you ask, for sure. And I read that Seidel piece as well. I thought it was a really good piece. But I don't know if they're really overlooked as much as, you know, they're just not a brand the way Michigan or Ohio State is. And so I think to a degree, they'll never get as much attention as those programs are, even if they continue to produce. Like Mark D'Antonio has, what was it, 6 of the last 7 years with 11 wins. But, you know, I think there are certainly high expectations for the Spartan team this year. And, you know, even if you might say they're being overlooked, I don't think anyone in, like, the national media would be surprised if the Michigan State Spartans were able to win the Big Ten East this year and ultimately get back to the college football playoff. You know, I think they're that good, and the schedule kind of shakes out favorably for them. So I don't know if they're overlooked so much as, you know, they're just not going to grab as many headlines because they're not as big of a brand as Michigan or Ohio State. They don't have quite the same following. So, you know, they don't get as much respect in the national media. I think that has a lot to do with it.
You hit the nail right on the head. That's where I was going next, Jack. You know, I think that a lot of Spartan fans don't understand that. And this is something that I got a lot of flack on. I never forget, when I first got the gig here at WKAR's Current Sports, I remember, you know, first off, I'm this young, you know, journalist coming from Channel 6 into radio, never done radio before, and they're used to hearing, you know, Earl Robinson, his legendary voice on the air for 39 years. So they were very, very critical of anything I said. I would get emails and voicemails like, are you sure about that? And I would get bite back all the time. And, you know, one of the things that I got bite back on from a few listeners was when I said that Michigan State is not a football school. I made that statement, you know, solely coming from the fact that, you know, when I was a student back then, I mean, Michigan State football was secondary to Tom Izzo's program. Tom Izzo and the success that he had, I mean, you know, when I was in college, I mean, he went to another Final Four, you know, got very close to another national championship. That was before we saw Mark D'Antonio bring Michigan State to a Rose Bowl appearance. That was before the Big Ten championships. That was before Michigan State got into the dance, into the Final Four of the college football playoff. Now I think Michigan State's brand is building, but just like you said, Jack, I mean, we're talking about a winning tradition at the schools. Again, love them or hate them, at Michigan, they are still the winningest college football program in the history of college football. There is still a bigger brand there. That's just keeping it real, folks. And again, I bleed green. I get it. Is that frustrating? For sure. But they are bigger brands. Ohio State is just a much bigger winning tradition. That's just how it is. There's a tradition of dominance and consistency there. Something that D'Antonio has certainly, you know, I think he's flipped the conversation and certainly has put Michigan State in the forefront of that conversation when it comes to college football here in the state of Michigan. But again, when talking about ratings and which teams are going to get more clicks, Ohio State and Michigan are just sexier programs than Michigan State. And it also helps when, you know, you talk about the personalities of the leadership of those teams. I mean, Mark D'Antonio's chill. You know, he's a guy that keeps it very vanilla in his press conferences. You know, he shows his personality, and you got to, you know, his humor, he's a funny guy. But when you compare Mark D'Antonio's personality to that of an Urban Meyer or that of, my goodness, you know, personality times 1,000, personality overload with Jim Harbaugh, that's just how it is. And in today's social media world, you know, that's what drives attention. That's what drives clicks, whether you like it or not. But I don't think D'Antonio cares about that crap. D'Antonio, at the end of the day, I think he embraces flying under the radar. And again, he loves proving people wrong. Alec, do you think Michigan State is overlooked? And if so, why?
I basically have the same things to say as Jack. Like, when a comparison is the Detroit Tigers and then plays like the Yankees and the Red Sox, like when you look at the brands of both, like the Red Sox and the Yankees, they might have some leeway to do bad just simply because of how big their brands are. But when you see something like the Tigers, like where they're not performing as well, like that's where as a team you'll get more flack. And to me, I see the same thing as with the Spartans and with the Wolverines and the Buckeyes, because the Wolverines, before Jim Harbaugh came to the squad, they didn't have a good team. Brady Hoke was leading them down the dumpster, and no one really was looking at that. But the Spartans, we go one season with a 3-9 record, and everyone's like, "Whoa, what's going on here? I guess Spartans are imploding or something." But you didn't really see that when Brady Hoke had those multiple mediocre seasons with U of M.
You know what? And this, I have to say this statement again. You know, with that being said, Alec, if you want to change the conversation, if you're going to change, you know, your program being overlooked when it comes to the national media and the national fan base of college football, you got to win a national championship. You got to go extreme. That is the only thing that's going to change the thought, the subconscious thought, when Michigan State football is brought up in the minds of the college football fan that does not live in this state. You got to win a national championship. That is how you change the dialogue. So What are your thoughts on it? 517-355-WKAR. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews, where Ben says, quote, "But the past 100 years of Michigan football don't matter. It's about here and now, and it's about the present and future, and Michigan has not done anything since 1997, so Michigan fans can keep bringing up the past, but they need to realize that Michigan State and Ohio State are better teams at this point in time. I don't see that changing anytime soon." He also goes on to say, "Let the media disrespect us. Doubt fuels us." So Ben, the diehard Michigan State fan that he is, putting in perspective why Michigan gets the hype in the past 100 years don't matter. So very to-the-point statement there, Ben. If you want to comment like Ben did on our Facebook page, again, go to facebook.com/WKARnews. Tweet me directly on Twitter at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. That was very passionate, wasn't it, Jack? The one, past 100 years don't matter. That's the world we live in, right? And I really think that we're in, you know, usually we're in the present and the now, but when it comes to sports, tradition is everything. I know. That's just how it is.
You know, I don't think it should be in my mind. I don't particularly care about tradition as much as the now, nor do I think anyone should. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, programs, blue blood programs, I guess, are always just going to be blue blood programs.
I hear you. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk with Alan Gant. Speaking of the Michigan football program, right? Alan Gant, former defensive specialist for the Wolverines on the gridiron. He is now an outside linebacker intern coach for Jim Harbaugh's program. He will join us live here on the air to talk about his new position and to preview Michigan and Notre Dame on Saturday night. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We hope to get Alan Gant on the show in just a moment. Alan Gant, now outside linebacker intern coach for the University of Michigan football team. Gant played with the Wolverines from 2012 to 2015 and now joins Jim Harbaugh's staff. Very cool stuff there. Before we move forward on that, we do have a caller real quick. And let's dial up Alan right now. I know he's short on time, so let's get to Alan in just a second. But line one, Ray from Indiana wants to chime in. Ray, what's up, my man? Do we have Ray? Ray, you're on. Ray? Calling Ray. Ray. Ray is not there. Ray, call back. All right, call back. Ray, I thought we had Ray. Hopefully we can work and get him on. But before we move forward as well, I mean, you were talking during that break, Jack, and you've been checking out Hard Knocks with the Cleveland Browns, and you're going to bring up a guy who I think is probably the star of the HBO Hard Knocks series. And who is that?
Oh, it's Bob Wiley for sure. I mean, he's Football Guy of the Year in my mind, talking about the troops in World War One and World War Two didn't have to worry about stretching. They were just doing sit-ups and jumping jacks. They were able to win two World Wars. That guy is incredible.
He's great. And there was a moment yesterday, spoiler alert, where Hugh Jackson puts on some jazz music for one of his players. I forget who it is, and he's a big-time player, too. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name right now. Who is it? It's Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, he wanted to, you know, turn off the rap and the hip-hop and said, "Look, man, put on some Al Green." Hugh Jackson puts on some Al Green at practice. And they're playing, you know, this jazzy type beat at practice, and all of a sudden, you know, it cuts to Bob Wiley, and he just screams, "Turn that dang music off!" And props to the HBO producers, because they immediately fade it down, and then Bob goes on this whole rant about playing music, you know, when you're in elementary school in English class. It's great stuff. And yeah, his belly moves every time he says "hut." His belly moves up. It's great stuff. Bob Wiley. And he drives a Maserati. This guy is not a small guy. And he's in with this, he's sitting there, you know, driving this really fly, all-white, two-door coupe Maserati. Bob Wiley's got swag, and I think he really steals the show. I think he is the star of HBO's Hard Knocks, all right? Do we have Ray right now? And do we have Alan ready? So before we get to Alan Gant, outside linebacker intern coach for the University of Michigan football team, a quick call from, and this is kind of ironic, notorious University of Michigan hater, Ray from Indiana. What's up, Ray?
Al, can you hear me now?
We got you. We got you, Ray.
Go Irish. Beat the Bully Saturday night. Hey, here's one for you. I was watching the Big Ten Network. I thought you'd get a bang out of this.
Okay.
And they had all these football players over in France. They went over to three different foreign countries the last 3 years, and they've lost all kinds of games, okay? And they're saying the defensive coordinator said, we're going to be tough to beat this year on Saturday. I'm thinking, what the hell did you do? You went over to France and you bought tickets for all these people with the big shots doing this stuff. And what about all the students that are in debt? Why don't you let them go on a trip?
Well, what coach are you talking about, Ray?
I'm talking about that trip they go over every year. Like, they went over to France and they were saying, we're going to be hired to beat the defensive coordinator. I'm thinking, what the hell did you do to make your team better going over to France?
Ray, it never stops, does it? You know, this is kind of a bad segue to my next guest here on the show. You know that, right?
I don't care. I'll talk to him. Let me talk to that guy. I'll tell him the same thing. They shouldn't be going on no trips.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much for calling, man.
Oh boy.
Ray, what do I even say after that, Jack?
He's the man. Ray's the man. That's electric.
This is a bad segment.
It is.
I'm going to need to clean this up right now because our next guest, he's a dear friend of the show. He's such a good sport. I'm incredibly proud to see where he is now taking his career. His name is Alan Gant. He's an ex-Michigan college football player. And, you know, he announced not too long ago, back in February on Twitter, that he would be joining Jim Harbaugh's college football staff as an assistant coach. Great stuff. You know, I think his official title is outside linebacker intern coach for the University of Michigan college football team. And now Alan Gant joins us live here via phone. Alan, did I get that title right?
Yeah, you did.
Congratulations, my man. Just first off, take us through, because I know you were in limbo for a minute, you know, just trying to figure out what that next move was going to be. Maybe it was going to be in the media or, you know, coaching somewhere. But how did everything pan out to land a great position like this with Jim Harbaugh's coaching staff?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. And it was back in during the Ohio State-Michigan game, and actually after that game, I remember talking it over with my wife, and I was telling her that, I've been contemplating on going into coaching. I miss football. This is my life. This is what I love doing. And, she told me, she said, I really think that you should go and pursue your dream. And actually, it was funny because she told me this even long ago. And I kept telling, no, I didn't really want to, put in all the time. And then once it got down to the season, I was like, you know what, this is something that I really want to do. So I called Coach Harbaugh right after the Ohio State game and, told him that, coaching was my passion. That's what I love to do. I love to network with people. I love to mediate with kids and, do everything I got to do to be the best person I could be on and off the field. And he gave me the job really quick. He welcomed me with open arms, and it was good to be back.
That's awesome, Alan. And it definitely helps when you have a supportive wife. And that's how actually you and I met, because I went to school with Leah here at Michigan State. And so have you fully converted Leah? I got to ask this, Alan. Have you fully converted your wife, who is an MSU alum, to now a Michigan fan, right? I guess you got to root for who pays the bills, right?
You got a point, but, I think I have gotten it. I think I got it to switch over to the maize and blue.
That's awesome, man. And congratulations to you, too. You guys tied the knot. Was it last year or this year?
It was in May, about 3 months ago.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Congratulations to you two, man. I live vicariously through you guys on social media, and just such a blessing. And again, congratulations on the position. So Alan, from there, I want to ask my man, what is it like, you know, working under Jim Harbaugh?
It's an unbelievable experience just to be being able to learn as much as possible, learn about, you know, recruiting, learn about, you know, obviously the X's and O's. It's an unbelievable experience, and I'm very thankful, very blessed to be in this position I'm in right now.
How would you describe his coaching style?
I would describe it as definitely hardworking, you know, especially, you know, get in your face, do what you have to do to be very successful. It's definitely a grind out here, but I think he does a really good job of taking care of not only just the players but the coaching staff as well, and making this all about the team. Team, like, you know, Bo Schembech was famous saying.
You all, of course, are preparing for an upcoming matchup. All eyes will be on Michigan and Notre Dame on Saturday night under the lights. I'm excited to just kind of sit back and take that game in, Alan. How would you describe the mood in practice? Is it one of just immense anticipation? Are you guys just ready to get out there on the field now? Because I feel like you get to a point, you know, in preseason training camp where you're just like, look, man, we know all these plays. We've done these drills 1,000 times. Can we just get out on the football field? Is it that kind of mood, or are there still some wrinkles that you guys want to iron out in the next few days before the game?
Oh, yeah, there's always things that we can get better at each and every day. But I think for the most part, we're all very anxious to get out there on Saturday and play Notre Dame. And, you know, even going back to spring ball and through fall camp, and we've been practicing against each other for the longest. I think now we're very excited, very anxious, and ready to get out there to play a different color uniform this time, and this time on national stage.
So you're working with the linebacker core, of course, Alan, and I want you to kind of take us through, you know, this Don Brown defense, defense that, you know, through 26 games under the leadership of Don Brown. I always bring this up, you know, Michigan's defense has not been the problem, in my estimation. You know, Don Brown and that defense has been stout. You guys have some key components and players there that can fly around the field and make big stops among the league leaders. Well, I should say the nation's leaders in college football's tackle for loss stat. It's amazing the kind of pieces that you guys have on that Michigan defense. With you, Alan, can you kind of take us through your work with the linebackers and what you expect from this Michigan defense this upcoming season?
Yeah, well, the first thing is we have a lot of depth, which is great for any coach. And, you know, the guys are, you know, very athletic, and they're very fast. And, you know, last year we had to put guys in that would be their first time, you know, starting on the defense. We just had to throw them in the spots. Now, obviously, as everyone has seen, the last 2 years, we've led the country in pass defense. We've been number one in total defense in 2016, and then last year, the number three defense in the country. So now, this year, with all those guys coming back, they have a year of experience underneath their belt, and now it's just time to put everything out on the field, all the hard work they have done this offseason. And, I mean, this defense is, you know, probably one of the fastest defenses I've seen in a long time here at Michigan.
Can you give us a few names when it comes to that secondary that you're working with, Alan, that could really turn some heads this upcoming year?
Oh, yeah. If you look at the secondary across the board, we got really good guys. We got guys that have experience, you know, LeVert Hill, David Long, Tyreek Cannell, and Josh Metellus. All four of those guys have had a year of experience playing here and starting here, here at Michigan. So I think that those four guys will definitely be the core group of the secondary to lead us to where we want to get to.
Who are some of your favorite guys to coach?
You know, I love them all. I mean, they all have great personalities. They're fun to coach. They're fun to be around. They take coaching very seriously. They listen. Don't ever have any problems with any of these guys. I just enjoy each and every one of them. It makes my job and the rest of the coaching staff's job a lot easier to come out when you got guys that are really willing to work and really to bust their butt and go harder each and every day.
And you brought up a few names, and I'm curious about, Rashawn Gary, who is, you know, one of the most talented defensive players in the nation. Now, I know you don't work directly with Gary because, again, he's, You know, he's a part of that ground attack on that line. But what is he like in practice?
Rashawn, he never takes a playoff, and that's something that is sometimes hard to teach young athletes, that, you know, you practice the way you play. And he's the type of guy, he definitely leads by example, by coming out each and every day, practicing as hard as he can be. He never takes plays off, and it shows during the games. I mean, he practices exactly the way he plays the game, and I just love coming out and seeing him each and every day. He encourages his teammates. He makes them better. He pushes them to be better, and it's just fun to be around.
Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with outside linebacker, intern coach for the University of Michigan football team, Alan Gant. Now, Alan, you all had an open practice that was, again, open to the public at the Big House on Saturday. Something that I don't think Jim Harbaugh has ever done. Open a practice, you know, especially just like a week, less than a week prior to, officially a week prior to an opening game against Notre Dame. Why did Jim decide to do that?
It was more so just showing the fans our appreciation, you know, what they have done for us, the community, the university, the campus, the overall, you know, city of Ann Arbor. So that's really what it was for, you know, just really show appreciation, get them excited for what's going to be upcoming for this 2018 season.
The matchup against Notre Dame, what kind of prep? And again, I don't expect you to sit here and give me, you know, your inside strategy or X's and O's strategy of how you're going to attack Notre Dame. But, you know, when you look at Notre Dame, in breaking down that matchup, how do you compare both Michigan and what you guys have out there in A squared in comparison to Notre Dame, two teams that again are ranked in the top 20 of the nation? What kind of team is Notre Dame, and how are you guys prepping?
Yeah, I mean, they're a very talented team, led by their quarterback, Brandon Wimbush. He'll be a returning guy as well, who started last year. They got talented guys on the edge. The receivers are big, athletic. They did lose a few guys on the offensive line, but again, we're prepared for those guys to come out. It's the first game of the year. I'm sure, you know, the emotion will be running high under the lights and everything. So, you know, we've just been preparing like we always prepare each and every day. Come out, you know, work hard, make sure we're students of the game, both on and off the field. And, you know, we expect it to be a great game on Saturday.
Shea Patterson has been named, as we expected, as the guy behind center starting for you all. What have you seen from Shea in practice, and how would you evaluate him so far?
Yeah, just based off what I've seen from practice, I mean, you know, being on the defensive side, we really don't get too much involved with what's going on the opposite side of the ball. But just by what I've seen from him, he's definitely a leader. He's a playmaker. He's a guy that can, you know, create plays when things might not be looking so good. And he's just an overall, he's a great person. He's a great leader, an outstanding football player. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table on Saturday for the first time here in a Michigan uniform.
The expectations are high, I would imagine. What are those expectations that you guys talk about on the regular out there in Ann Arbor?
Championship or bust. But we can't get to that championship without winning the first game. So, you know, obviously the first game is the most important game. Not to look ahead to what we have coming down the road. Just take it one day at a time, one game at a time, and we should be okay.
Again, Michigan and Notre Dame under the lights Saturday night. Alan, keep up the great work. We'll be in touch throughout the season, all right?
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Again, Alan Gant, outside linebacker, intern coach for the University of Michigan football team. Let's hit a brief second break right now. And when we come back, we'll put a bow on this edition of Current Sports by just really briefly discussing the Odell Beckham Jr. contract. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with Alan Gant, outside linebacker intern coach for the University of Michigan football team. Alan, you know, last time we talked with Alan, I mean, he was still, you know, just trying to find out what that next chapter was going to be. And now, you know, to see him a part of Jim Harbaugh's coaching staff, very cool stuff as the University of Michigan gets ready to hit the road and play Notre Dame on Saturday night. Shea Patterson, that is the big question. Can Shea Patterson lead this offense to some kind of consistency? We'll see. Only time will tell. When it comes to Allen and what he does working with the outside linebackers, that defense is going to be fine. You know, Allen has no, and that defensive coaching staff, that's not where the pressure lies out in Ann Arbor. We all know where it lies, all right? Okay, well, just, man, just 2 minutes left. I've done it again. Oops, I've done it again, as Britney Spears would say. I wanted to get to this whole Odell Beckham Jr. conversation, man. And you, why'd you give me a thumbs down with the Britney Spears?
Britney Spears?
Britney Spears is one of, and when you look at her numbers, she is one of the most underappreciated pop stars of all time.
Fake news.
She really is. Look at the numbers. I'm not saying I'm a Britney Spears fan, all right?
Fair enough.
But she had some hits, man. You know, game-recognized game, all right? This Odell Beckham Jr. contract, I'm going to lead with it tomorrow, all right? Because I think, no, I'm not going to tell you what I fully think right now. I'm going to tease this for tomorrow's show. But you can let the cat out the bag. Jack, what do you make of this Odell Beckham Jr. contract? Do you think he deserved the money?
I don't think anybody
deserved that much money as a football player, but from a league standpoint, do you think that it was a good move by the Giants?
To me, no. I've never been a big Odell Beckham Jr. guy, and he's certainly extremely talented, not taking that away from him. But his, I don't even want to say off the field issues, but just, you know, all the crap we've seen from Odell Beckham, all the extra stuff, pretending to urinate after scoring a touchdown last year, you know, seeing him crying on the sidelines a couple of years ago. I've never been a big Odell Beckham Jr. fan. I don't want to say he's not a team guy, but I've never enjoyed his personality. And they haven't won anything with him. To me, that's a lot of money for a wide receiver, you know?
I hear you. You know, I'm going to have to get Isaac Constance on the show tomorrow because Isaac actually went to high school with Odell Beckham Jr. And he would always have these great insights and stories about what it was like going to high school with Odell Beckham Jr. And he may join us for that conversation tomorrow, but I got some thoughts on Odell. We'll get to that tomorrow. Don't miss it. We also hope to have D.A. Jones of the Kappa Express on our airwaves. Until then, folks, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy.